I went to sleep raining. Actually, back in November. He said to me, I didn't have to. He said this before, but it's his fault. He said, would you like to be the first woman speaker at Restoration Fellowship? And I said, oh yes, certainly, lovely, thank you. He said, I want you to speak on, like something safe. Something that's suitable for both men and women. And I was so blessed that no one was home because I went straight to the Lord. And I'm saying, Lord, when are you guys to speak? Does he say something suitable for both women and men? And the Lord said, what can I say? And I said, why would you come at people who want something safe? And we have. Because I remember the last time someone wanted something safe. They walked in a wilderness. And I put it to you that most of us as Christians have wandered in a wilderness in our Christian life because we want safe. It's not organized. Because we wandered in the wilderness. And I said, Lord, he wants something safe. Can I take him to the edge of the cliff? And then he can choose to jump off. And he snatched up my mind. But the Lord said, look at people. I said, okay. There's Greg. He used to be, Church of Christ, who's written a book, even struggling, but his family don't believe that he stood up. And he listened to God. If he wanted to say it, he wouldn't have said it. We've got, Cliff and Nikki with Pine Rivers who stepped out of the traditional Christadelphian and said, hey, what about it? They haven't done it, have they? In fact, everyone that's here stepped out. We gave enough to pick up a book and we said, it didn't sound right. I've got it to wear. Got it to hear. That's a lot purpose. Now, in that, we have Mark Skull here, who, may I say, 5 years ago, Mark wrote me a stack of pages why women shouldn't speak. Isn't God amazing? He's got Mark and I, 5 years later, on the phone speaking to us. You're amazing, is God. This God is amazing. And you know why he and I are both here on the phone speaking to us? Because we did, as he said in his last talk, put aside what we come from and we started to seek God. Because we both came out of that fear. The reality is when the Anglicans first ordained women speakers, I would be chief person against that. Then God started working on me. And he got me to here. I can look back now and see how it changed me. I can look back here how he did that. I remember the time he just, it was absolutely revealed to me. I could still cry. So are we going to be a people who are safe? I'm wondering if we're doing it, but we're going to go to the promised land. So in Joshua 1, as God is, and don't forget, how come Joshua got to be where he got? When you and I are first introduced to Joshua, he's in the tent. He doesn't leave the tent. He's up the hill with Moses. He lives in the presence of God. And that's amazing. So here we have, and I think we need to understand, we hear, when I look at actually the topics that we do here, which is that we all love one God. We've come up with this realisation. And those of you who don't know, I'm Christadelphian. So always been Christadelphian. Thank the Lord, I've had a wonderful, wonderful time being Christadelphian. We as a family have actually mostly stayed, always stayed out of the rubbish. My dad, who's here, would never put up with rubbish. And so we were, I would say, never really put our hands up for saying stuff against them, but we were never stood out like that, but had people. Often had camps, we lived on farms, had camps at our place. In my youth, we were blessed, had a we had a farm on the Bellinger River, which of course is mostly flood, but we would have, in my youth, we had, my youth group was Brisbane, and there were Sydney youth in Christadelphia, and they would come January long weekend, and we would have a camp midway. So we had such a blessed life within Christadelphia. But I had a father who always challenged some of the stuff that came out. And so part of that made me stand up and do the same. In fact, Dad and I had quite an argument over coffee yesterday. But that's because we are still, I'm so very much like him. Nicholas says, you know, I'm chatting to Nicholas, do you know, you just look like Dad. Is struggling with, you know, of course it's always the Trinity, and I've had a fair bit to do. The Lord has led me in being involved or going to a lot of Hillsong things and different speakers from different churches, which is amazing. And so we used to actually sneak off to Hillsong conference and the women, you know, don't tell Dad. And then Tamar, my sister, went down and rang to see where we were. She said, oh, yeah, conference, and you know, we get home from that weekend, and Dad says, "I'm really not going to believe in the Trinity." And I said, "No, Dad." But this is this fear that we came from, and I thought, "What is this fear that we need something faith? What is this fear that you and I don't know that our steps are led by God? That when I seek Him with all my heart, I'm going to find Him." When you seek Him with all your heart, you are going to find Him. He doesn't hide from us. So that if you go anywhere where someone says something challenging, we run to our best friend. We don't have to carry on to each other. We run to our best friend and say, "What's about this?" You reveal it. One other thing, I'm actually Frank Felch. In two of his things that he's spoken about, he said, because, you know, Frank loves, it comes from this Hebrew aspect, and, you know, I say, Lord, it's going to give me tongues, give me ancient Hebrew and Greek. I beg for that, please! And so, you know, Frank loves Hebrew, and he says, you can really leave your press up, Frank. Because he says, you know, it's so badly, in, you know, done that, you know, we just don't get the truth. And then he tells us that the strongest concordance is 6 degrees off. So my sister, you know, I tell Mum and my sister, and so we now call the strongest concordance the 6 degrees. So that, you know, you're somebody looking that up in the 6 degrees. And Mum's funny, she sometimes calls it 6%. But you can get pretty upset when you think, oh. And then you remember when you see me. Oh, I'll be found by you. I don't have to matter if strong can cause it to 6 degrees off. It doesn't have to worry me that I don't know ancient Hebrew and Greek. I'm telling you. You know, I would love that. But you and I have been born in this time. And I think the church is and so what we ended up was a church of people who fell away because we never had what Mark was speaking about. Challenges where our sword is so coiled in our hand that we can't even get it off. You know what our sword is? Our double-edged sword. So you and I have become a people who don't even know that we hold a sword in our hand, that our hand should be so close, and you can't get it out. I like judges. You know, I like what Mark's speaking about. That, you know, that guy who killed 800. You know, I want that. You know, there are people that like me to go, stick a sword in. They are. But you know, that's our giant. If you and I are going to cross over that giant, if you and I are going into the promised land and to stay there, we've got giants in there. The promised land does not represent the kingdom age. Because in kingdom age, there is no giant. So I see that we have a people in who we've become who've been satisfied in living in a wilderness led by God. Fed by him, clothed by him. Knowing he is God, but knowing about him. Can we? Instead of going into the promised land, when we get the miraculous, where God goes before us, when the children of Israel sinned and God said, you can go, but I'm not going with you, the angel will go with you. If you don't come, I'm not going. He says, my presence, my faith, I'll turn away. But what Jesus did for you and I was made us be able to come to the Lord. Face to face with our Father. Living in a promised land. So we have giants. Number one is ourselves. Number one is ourselves. And I think we don't recognize that. And I think we don't recognise it enough. God, as Mark was speaking, I could not get notes down. I went to the Lord and I said, I need notes. And I would, this is my notes, and they repeated the same on my computer, and that's as far as I got. And after Mark talked, I said, no, I didn't tell you notes, but that's what I'm saying. And here is what God has placed on us. The people who have to stand up in faith. Are people who have to meet the giants in the promised land head on. Are people who need to have a double-edged sword in their hand. And we've become a people, and I'm not saying so much on this, but we've really become a people who turn up on Sunday or in church, mark that off, and then some of us will meet in a different week and teach that off. For the rest of our lives, it's exactly the same. So when we get to Joshua 1, as they're about to go, and I'll just start it, I'll just read most of it. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. You and I will get every place where we set our foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend, and we've got the territory that we actually saw up there today. No one, in verse 5, will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I remember a Saviour who says he will never leave us, or forsake us. Sometimes there are people who think he has. Same faith that God's saying, we need to walk by faith. We, in our first talk, this cliff, is there anyone here who doesn't believe in the last day? How come you and I got in the last day? Do you know you and I are in a place where everybody's looking for a promise to live? Do we actually take that into consideration? You and I have been placed by God, it's not a coincidence, you and I have been placed in this time, purposely by God. For what reason? What did God see in you and I that he says, I need you at the time of the end? What did he see in you and I? There must be something. Did he see a people who were willing to walk in faith in this last time? A time of trouble such as never was. A time when the Spirit is poured out on this earth. A time when people stand up for these people. Somebody who are the angels can get them. Or is Jesus going to come back and one of God? In Greg's book, it's my favourite book. And it began that end of chapter about Jesus. And it says, here is the wonder of our faith. At God's right hand is a true man, a real man, a man just like you and me. I don't need to sit on top of this. Just like you and me. He is the perfect demonstration of all that God the Father can do through a man totally yielded to his will and filled with his Holy Spirit. Is that something you and I can attain to? Yes. Do you know why we have fallen away from the church? Nobody told us. But not only were we to do with what Jesus did, we were actually not to be Jesus. Clear again, sorry, but on Facebook, he had run me and said, okay, what's my synopsis for my talk? Well, you know, I can't get a talk on page, I have to make a little something. And I've got no idea, give me time to. But in the meantime, Cliff had put up something. Very loving of him. And in it, he said, because my talk was about back then, and still probably is, the name badge. This is what I called it, the name badge. And so Chris said, Jesus gave us a glimpse of the Father. You know, we should give a glimpse of Jesus. Well, actually, that's wrong. Because in John chapter 14, when Philip says to, don't you just love Philip, you know, Philip only wants as much as you can possibly think of, you know. Philip only, he's just fabulous. I think when you look at the disciples and you start to see the characters in them, you think, oh, I love that about you. And then you think, Thomas. But then you think, well, tell us who's the only one. The other didn't believe. You know, the other one gave it up to say, oh, Lord, I just don't understand. And everybody said, he prayed before he chose them. He had, when you look at that, he had had a huge amount of suffering. And then he goes for a whole night and he prays. And I think he and the Father went through every one who followed him and he chose each one for a specific thing. For a specific character. For a specific thing in them. And I think he cried that night at the church. So when we look at those characters, and Philip says to the Lord, show us the Father, there'll be enough for us. You know, typical, you know, there'll be enough. Yeah, and that's the same as defeating the 5,000, you know. Well, this is all we've got, this thought. You know, Jesus challenged him. He thought, it's a small amount. You know, in the city of the 5,000, God, Jesus gave them as much as they wanted to. We've got still, that's over, we still have the son Jesus. How much do you want? I'm here to challenge you. How much do you want? Because totally in my Bible says Spirit's poured out on you. My Bible says, how much more, Jesus said, will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Have you come before your face and him and say, I want it, I want it, I want it. I want me to do? This is why we lost people at a church, because nobody told them you are meant to be Jesus. Not like him. Don't get a glimpse. Because you know what Jesus' answer to Philip was? Have you known me this long and you still don't know? What if your neighbour said to you, just show me Jesus. Which one of us here can say, have you known this one that is still going on? When you and I stand before Jesus, we want to pray. We know that we count everything this time. But we stand before him, we give account of what we've done. We don't give an account of because that's actually down the bottom of the ocean. Too many Christians have got scuba gear to get it out. You know? And too many Christians get yours out and yours out. So, well, I didn't find mine, but I've got yours. Don't we? Murdering our tent in the wilderness, don't we? I can learn about that tent there. You know? I'm meant to forgive. You know, I really envy that guy. You had a sword that he could shove into people. Because you know, when we see him in the kingdom, I'm going to say, you had it easy, buddy. You had a sword. You know what we have to do? We have to forgive him. Exactly. And he's going to say, what? I don't know. Someone's there. You had a sword, you could shove up their gun. And then I had to pray good stuff into their life. Yes, I know. And we can have a real great time. Look, Jesus is behind my back. He'll say, excuse me, Mother. I'll say, oh, God. Oh, you know, the Lord is there. He'll say, you could do that only because it was me. That is great. You did that because you could do all things because I was in you. We don't take a risk. We live in time. That's why we can't do it. Because when you and I get up in the morning, just you and I get up in the morning. Sorry, Saturday, because it shouldn't be. Because Jesus said, take up your cross, David, and follow me. Well, you know, I thought about that all there this morning. Because I really, you know, I wanted to get up, but then I'm like, can I take up my cross before? That's a bind, isn't it, really? For me, it becomes sin. That means, you know, I've just really got to try and be good. So we've got to take a Christian. No wonder they don't do it. What's your heart, don't you? And they're under grace. We need to move on. Move on to grace. We've become, and we have to be really careful in this movement that we're in now, this movement of grace. Because in this movement of grace, we can use it not to become a limit to that. We are meant to respond to grace. You love me that much that you gave your own begotten son. What do you want me to do? Ephesians says we've got good work. What is that? Now, I don't know whether all of you have watched The Passion of the Christ, but there's a scene in that which is phenomenal. I mean, there were many scenes where you sort of you just can't believe it. And my son, Caleb, you know, when we walked out, he was about 15 or something. Well, he just wanted to kill all the people there. He put Christ to death. And so there is that scene where Jesus is struggling with the cross. And they get Simon, isn't it? They just grab this nobody out of the crowd. They grab a nobody. They didn't even know what was going on to help him. I actually think that scene's done wrong because they get Simon to come up beside Jesus. In actual fact, if you were going to help someone carry something like that, You will always come in behind them, and you will pick up the end, and you will give it to them. So when you and I who are nobody take up our cross daily and follow him, we come in behind him and we take up the same cross. And we see, as Simon was seen, big drops of blood on that dust as we follow him. We see a back that's been ripped to shreds so that you and I will be healed. We see, you know, in that movie also, they had Simon encouraging him. Come on. If Jesus turned around, you can do it. Look at me. You can do it. You'll get there. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But it's a daily walk. It's a daily relationship. One-on-one with God and with Christ. It is out of our gut that we worship him. It's out of our feeling, because one thing we really, really, really miss in not having a Hebrew way of thinking is that their thinking is, they think out of in action. So they think in emotion, where we think in thought. So their thinking, when they think, it reacts in an emotion, whereas we don't. We have that Greek way of thinking where we have to just, you know, look at this and then I have to go over here, whereas their thinking comes from emotion. So we miss that. You and I need to be more emotional. You and I need to be more one-on-one with him. So when I looked at what we are here, what has God brought us together in Restoration Fellowship? What is it if it is, because I think Chris Delphine's missed it, you know, here we have the people who understand that Christ was not God at all. He was like you and I. Exactly like you and I. So what happens in the knowledge for you and I, it gets us to a place where God expects more from you and I. He does not expect as much from those who believe Jesus has an advantage because he is good. So you and I can know he was the same as him. He said, come on. Come on. You can do this. You can be Jesus. We are meant to be Jesus. One of my youngest, probably a couple of years ago, came to me, and I wasn't into that long, and he said he wanted to do something. And he said to me, Mum, do you think I could, you know, do this? Can't remember what it was. And I said to him, what would Jesus do? Oh, I knew you'd say that! I said, why did you ask me? And I should have brought my children. I brought my children up like that. Mum brought me up like that. We hated the same thing. We ate my, because that's put on us. Oh, we can't do that. I'm restricted in Jesus. I'm restricted. So what if we change that around to how about you do what Jesus would have done? Jesus actually would have gone there. But he would have taught everybody about God. How about if we brought our young people up? And how about if we were brought up to actually be Christ? To actually do what he did rather than I'm restricted by because I've just got to be like Jesus. So we have a generation of people who found a life walking in God and in his son too hard. Because we had to come up under four. This is how it's done. Instead of, oh, that's a giant in your life. You know how you go, you want to go out with those mates? Ha ha! Giant! Where's your sword? How are you going to take your double-edged sword out tonight? How are you going to do this? Go before the Lord and say, right, my friends want to go out here and say, well, Jesus, you were, you know, well known for going to the pubs and going around with sinners. Of course, hello, this is where I'm off to. Hello! But you and me, Lord Jesus, what are we going to do tonight? What are we going to do? You and me, Lord Jesus, how am I going to look to my neighbours? We need to minister the Spirit of God. And I just want to challenge you today to make your life with God and with Christ personal. I think we grew up with these Sunday school lessons and we left them in the book. We thought, oh, gosh, I'm going to give you a shout. God, you chose it. I know you want to chose me for that one. But in the end of, I think it's 1 Samuel 3, there's this guy who with a donkey crawler killed 500 people. You and I think, we've got a donkey crawler. We've got a sword that's double-edged. And as my says, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's, we need to face those challenges. We need to be Jesus. And we don't do it alone. We do it Christ in me. The hope of glory. Too many Christians stay in Romans chapter 6. I don't know what time I'm supposed to finish. I can go through it without that. What time do I finish?
Sure.
Is that
now? I'll
let you
know. No, okay.
Because my title is one when I'm speaking, people just go like this if I go. Okay? So,
I'll do that in half now.
Where did I get to before I remember the time?
Donkey product.
I love donkey product, guy. We are very blessed. We have got four boys next door. About the same ages as my son, and I'm praying them in because they come over and, you know, they're down in the boys' room and you know, they'll go out at night time because my kids, I unfortunately haven't really, you know, even though they believe they come Sunday night and that, they still have not, they're still in that place where I brought them up, do what, you know, what would Jesus do, thinking, instead of, I want you to do what Jesus did. And I've only come to this understanding later, that we forgot to say what the giants were in the past. We forgot to say that in the name of Jesus, you can do anything, you can take any giant down in the name of Jesus. We will be able to say to, you know, King David, we look at King David and we thought, oh, Goliath, you know, he took down Goliath. We've got Goliath in our life. We need to start recognising our Goliath. And you've got to realise when you start running to your giant, in the name of Jesus tells us in John 14, whatever you ask me, my name, I'll do it. Let's try and get big as you want to walk fast. Somehow or other we thought they didn't. Somehow or other we thought that, you know, he's still way over there and I swing from here. But when you take on a giant in yourself, in your life, it's going to get bigger. Before it gets smaller. Before you're sure it's there. We need to understand that because as Mark was saying, faith is something that grows in us. This is so cool. I mean, this is a little bit of faith. You know, faith is right above this city going through mountains. It's done with a little bit of faith. And as I go to take out those giants, Jesus goes before me, because Jesus in the name of God is that he's a banner who goes before me. And Jesus says in John 17, I manifested your name. Whose name are we meant to know? The name of Jesus, which is the name of God. Exactly. You and I should be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We need to challenge ourselves so that when we get up in the morning, we pick up our cross daily. Go to him. Okay, where's the good works you've got for me today? And every night time we say, well, we see that one. You and me. Me and you. Oh, oh, I saw that one go. And they don't want to do that tomorrow. Until we come. We need to make our life exciting. But people need to know that we are Christ. Because God likes time. We are so claiming that kingdom now. We just so like it because, you know, it's just horrific. As you said, it's horrific out there. But we're meant to be Christ on the earth. We're meant to do the good works. We're meant to stop just being thinkers and be doers. We're meant to be praying for the Holy Spirit so that we actually can put our hands on people and heal them. That's hugely challenging to any Christadelphian, I can tell you. You know, we have Peter here one day. He, you know, he's not here today, unfortunately. But Peter has been over the world and done healing. What do we bring to this table as a people? What is each and every one of us here that God has, not by coincidence, got together for a purpose? So what's our purpose here? That's what I challenge you with. But I don't just think of people who know that God, we have one. I don't think it's just people who know that it's kingdom come and not heaven go. I think it's the people who Jesus said, are you going to get it and be me? Are you going to be me? Christ in me. Me in Christ. You can't tell the difference. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Don't think these words are just for Joshua. If you and I are going to live in the land of promise, these words are for us. You need to understand that this is a personal book to you and me. It is not just a story written several thousand years ago. It is you and I on this page somewhere. When Jesus gave those parables in the Hebrew way of teaching, they, as he gives that story, have to identify with a character in that story. So of course you and I did as we went through Sunday school in the parable of the sower. Like who when we went through Sunday school with anything but the good soil and the good soil? Was anyone here for stony soil? Did anyone just want to take it and I'll just be the, you know, the stony ground where, you know, I'm going to be leaving for a while. We were all the good soil, weren't we? Well, no one told me how the rest of that meant. Some produce 50, some produce 60, some produce 100. No one told me that meant. No one challenged me. Because when I said before Jesus, am I going to be happy to say, hi, I'm here, I did 30. Are you going to be happy with that? Honey, I did 60, but I'm a 30. I'm here to challenge you. When you stand before him, do you want, well done! Well done! God and faithful, get in! You need 100. When they gave you the talent story, they didn't make us identify with the guy who gets five cities. You just knew you weren't going to be the one who buries it. Didn't you? Well, I'm not that idiot. But nobody said, hey, God is in heaven. Go on and find it out. And how much is trouble? Not just trouble. Not just trouble. You should want to get that equal in the kingdom. no one, when they told me the story of Elijah, you know, watched the outcome, you know, just see water on it and see how comes the fire from heaven. You know, I love that bit where Peter says, can we call that fire from heaven, Lord? You know, you just understand the spirit of it. But Jesus turns to me, you don't know what spirit you are. I think some of us don't know the spirit. But we're no one, when they told me the story of Elijah, ever took me to James. Where it says, you're not just like Elijah. You ever been challenged? Are you just like Elijah? We thought Elijah was a guy in the book that God used. We didn't know I'm misspeaking. See the difference? You need to leave this book. We need to live it. Second by second. Don't keep right to kill whatever is going to come my way. I think that's with my hand over weak. Yeah, I'm just going to don't keep right up. You know that thing, not the effect that's going to kill 500 people? What is that? We try hard. We got things in our life we have to stick in the gut. And if that is our anger, if that is the words that come out of our mouth, if that is our attitude, if that is our attitude to our boss, if that is our attitude to our neighbours, if that is our attitude to our brethren, we need to see what is the giant in our lives preventing us, or that God's got placed there for us to overcome, so that one day we think, don't be a person who says, but I'm a person. God likes time. It says in Philippians that he works out his purpose in us. He can only work out his purpose in us if we are willing. He can only work out his purpose in us in how much we empty us out of us. And we want kingdom here. I want it now. In fact, I know, I do. I want it now. I've always wanted it now. But God says, in actual fact, it is almost now. But in this time, you and I have only got a little bit of an hour left to work out as we stand before him one day here with me. Who is actually coming? You're going to stand before him very, very shortly. Have you been praying, your children in, next door's children in, the street in, the people that you're working? Have you been going before the Lord? Because, you know, James says, we're just like Elijah. You pray for the rain to stop. Do you know that your prayers of Elijah's name are powerful and effective? You thought, isn't it? Because you know what? You're not going to get it, don't you? Where do you use me today? You want me to plant some seeds into someone's life? You want me to water? You and me, Jesus. At the end of the day, I had someone yesterday who just came in. She was came to see one of the doctors. And I had Christian music on, and she said, are you a Christian? I said, yes. And she said, so am I. So we had a talk, but she left feeling so much better. She'd come and hadn't got any answers. And I said, you know that it's God's will that you're not. You need to know his love for you. Who does he send your way? Maybe just to water. But if you don't have the two-edged sword in your mouth, you won't be able to live out. You won't be able to kill the giant that was in that person's life ready to take them. It's big what you and I have got. Right up till the day we stand before Jesus, we've got challenges. And that's why the scripture that Mark read out, where Jesus says, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. in the promised land, this goes on to say, look at what happened. So do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Now that's for us. Meditate on it day and night. That's for us. You mean, oh, I've worked so hard, now I've got to do this. So there's somewhere in that place where you're working that you can put a tape on. There is somewhere in that place where you might have 10 seconds with a cup of coffee to just get a bit of word in. You might have 15 more minutes if you got up 15 more minutes earlier in the morning to spend 15 minutes in the Word. There is somewhere in your day where you need to be meditating. There is somewhere when you're in a car, there's not many cars that do not have something that can speak, a talk in your car. I put a talk on when I get dinner of a night time. So that I'll either that or I've got Bible on CD, so I will put that on. I'm very blessed in my work at work that you know, when I'm doing the mail, I go on the net and I download some talks and I'll listen on opening the mail. I will listen then. There are times in my day and in my week where I will squeeze it in where I can squeeze it in. So that makes when I do the veggies and that, it's a good time in the kitchen. It's a good time. Because I'm listening to that. Oh yeah, that's a good point. Then you have to go and rewind it because you've lost, you know, what you're doing in chat time. So this is, we need to get the double-edged sword into us so that, that's going to be it. Because you and I one day will stand before Jesus, our Lord, and give account of what we've become, what we've done, not about us. But we get rewarded according to what we've done. I do think there's a reward system. I think, as Paul said, that he ran the race well. That Jesus taught of a reward system because he, you know, the talent story. He got, you know, you proved faithful in this, so you get 5 cities. You proved faithful in this, you get this. What are we proving faithful in? And it cannot look the same for each and every one of us because we are of the body all different. So this is where our individual walk comes in, me taking it to him, you taking it to him. Where's my card in this? What have you got for me today? So that when I read it, that's me, I know it. So Psalm 91. She who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I don't know if you've seen those, you know, cartoons, you know, where the goodie would always try to get away with something and the baddie would come up and catch them. But always before the baddie got there, you would see the shadow of the baddie just creeping over the window and get the baddie. You know what? Baddie, see that shadow? Oh my God. Don't come near me. Look who goes with me. Do we go into the promised land? Or do we just stay believers, trudging around, not facing the giants in our life, not taking them out with the word of God, not walking by faith, because your gut will be feeling like they're ripped out and you've got to trust him in his trust. You're going to do that. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in whom I trust, and I say to him, I will say of you, that you are my refuge and my fortress. You are my God, in whom I trust. It's a different relationship. When God, when the angel of the Lord, came to Abraham and said, I am your very great reward, he's our very great reward. He wants a relationship with you and I. Right from the beginning, he wanted to walk with his creation. He wanted to walk with you and I, baby. Surely, I'll give an example of me, okay? Surely you will save me from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence, whatever that is. You will cover me with your feathers. Oh, it's so nice. And then I remember that Jesus said, how would I have gathered you under my here you and I have a relationship there, just like David did, to kill Goliath, to love and to bless. I'll finish this. And under your wings, I will find refuge. Your faithfulness will be my shield and my helper. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but they won't count me. How much do you believe it? How much do you believe it? That's what faith walk is. That you are willing to believe this and know that the pestilence won't come in. If you make the most high voice for me, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angel concerning you. That's lovely. I said, oh, your angels concern me. And I just say, angels, this is so good. You know? It's like that servant who's saying, oh, look at that army out there, look at that army out there. And he was Elijah. What did he say, Lord, shut him?
Could be.
Like he could count how many angels. He commands his angels concerning you. Do you know who you are as the son and daughter of the Most High? And if you don't, get this and make it personal. Nothing will be here that we come together if it's not that there's a people somewhere on this earth. You know we are meant to be Christ. That we actually behave like Christ. We are no longer pussyfooting around and saying, oh, that's just too hard. You know, I'm just going to stay in Romans 7, where, you know, I struggle with my flesh. Romans 8 tells me that I can do all things with God. We need to move into Romans 8. Those angels will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And here's the wisdom. It calls you not God. This Lord. He will rescue you. He will protect you from, for you acknowledge his name. You will call upon him and he will be with you. He will be with you in trouble. He will deliver you and honor you. With long life, he will satisfy you and show you his salvation. But I will be with you. I'll call upon you and you will answer me. Oh, you're going to be with me in trouble and you will deliver me and you will honor me. With long life you will satisfy me. You have to show you your knowledge. I'm going to be 100-fold reward. Let's just pray. Most wonderful Father in heaven, we become aware of you, you who are in the very heaven. You who are in the very air that we breathe. Hallowed be your name. This name of God who is Elohim in relationship with me. Who is Jehovah who goes before me. Who is righteous, who has made me your righteousness in your Son. Who is the God most high to all this world. And so much more. We acknowledge you. And we acknowledge you, our Saviour. That you have said that you will come and make your home in us when we love each other. So come, Lord Jesus, dwell in us that we may dwell in you. And as Paul prays for the Ephesians, that we may know your love for us, Lord Jesus, the height, the depth, the breadth, the width of how much you love us. And that we may be filled up, Father, to the fullness of you. Go with us, that we may be and do all those good works, Father, that you had for us before the beginning of time. That we may one day when we stand before you, Lord, have done all that we were meant to do. That we have been wise with the tongue, and that we have not just been a 30-fold or a 60-fold, but that each and every one of us here stand before you, having done all, and that we still stand, that we have done 100-fold, and yet well done, good and faithful. We look forward to your return. We pray your return, for this world is in such turmoil. This world is full of people with hearts that hate, hearts that are selfish. But help us to shine. Help us to be you, Lord Jesus, and us in you, so this world sees a God who blesses, a God who heals, a God who works when our heart is willing to seek him with all. Take us home safely. Guide us in our lives. We thank you and we bless you that we may bring honour, that we may bring you glory. For it is you in us, Lord Jesus, the hope of glory. Amen.
Amen.